Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue our theme this week, talking about the moment, the times we're living in, how to understand them, how to respond to them. I'm going to continue this next week as well, because I just think it's such an important time. The Lord is drawing near. I mean, the battle is right in front of us in such a powerful way between the kingdoms, and it's impossible really to avoid it. And it's so important for us to be able to understand who we are in the midst of it. And the echoing of the words of Scripture in St. John Paul II, those, be not afraid. There literally is nothing to be afraid of if we're in Christ. And as I ended the program yesterday, I was talking and focused on the kind of spiritual stronghold that's in the church that the Lord himself really has just decided to deal with. That's why the church is undergoing this present trial. It's a time of purification, of deep pruning of the church, where dead wood's getting cut away. The Lord is exposing habit patterns of sin in the church that are crippling her in her mission, that are slowing it down, that are distracting it. And so I'd like to talk a little bit more about that today and how I see it unfolding, and then pick it up more next week as well. So one of the things that the Spirit has really said to the church, and what we see is kind of capsulized in the words of Sister Lucia in a letter she wrote to Pope John Paul II, expressing what Our Lady told her about the final battle. It's interesting that John Paul II said we've entered the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, and then years later, he gets a letter from Sister Lucia saying this: the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. However, Our Lady has already crushed the head of the serpent. And so, isn't it interesting that John Paul II, one of the great teachings he gave the church, is the big opus on the theology of the body. That's why he spent so much time on it. He understood the great battle that was happening in the attack on human anthropology. What's a man? What's a woman? What's a marriage? What's the meaning of human sexuality? That the devil's strategy is to enslave so many with various kinds of sexual addictions and perversions and worldviews of the sexual revolution and the like, that has worked its way not only into the broader culture, but it's worked its way into the church itself. I think a number of months ago, I was reading to you a very interesting article from a woman. Her name is Mallory Millett, and she's the sister of Kate Millett, who was one of the most famous early radical feminists here in the United States and was considered the mother of sort of feminist studies at universities and stuff. And she described on her sister, the anniversary, or at her sister's death, I guess it was, journalists contacted her and said, wow, what's it like, you know, being the sister of that great icon, Kate? And she decided she was just going to be honest about what she saw. And what she described about how radically committed her sister was to deconstructing family life, and how because of her hatred for patriarchy, is really something to see. And she quotes, having been at a meeting of one of the early groups of the most radical feminists in the early days in New York, a half a dozen key women from, you know, Ivy League schools and the rest in the East Coast. And she said this, she said in the article, she said, at the beginning of every meeting that they would have for consciousness raising, they were very influenced by the Marxists and the Marxist strategy of doing consciousness raising. For consciousness raising was a litany of scripted goals and responses such as this. Why are we here today is the question, right? The question, somebody chanted that, yelled out that question. Then they all chanted, to make revolution. How? To destroying the family. By destroying the family, we destroy American patriarchy. By taking away his power. By destroying monogamy. By promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, homosexuality. She said they would chant that over and over and over again. So what ended up happening, and who knows the sources of it all, but what you see here is the lie, the deceptive lie of the enemy that people have internalized. who knows the doorway in their own life, maybe had horrible relationships with their father, maybe husbands that seriously abused them, whatever it was, maybe just human pride that was present. Nonetheless, they were radically committed to destroying the fundamental institution God himself established on earth, and that's the family. They're going to use all their intelligence, all their power, all their influence, and they were very strategic about it. And she was a writer. She studied at Oxford. And so the books she was writing, her deployment was to the universities and to create feminist studies that would enculturate young people and really deceive young people into believing the lies they were chanting, that family exists because of patriarchy. And patriarchy is our enemy, therefore the family is our enemy, therefore the family has to be destroyed. These are incredibly influential people. And how do they do it? By promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, homosexuality. Look what's happened in our culture since these early days of the 60s. Look at how radically transformed it's been by this worldview, and how prominent sexual perversion is everywhere, and how deep it's gone. Not just something as radical and as sick as ubiquitous as pornography, for example, but look what's happening. We're redefining what it means to be human. Deconstructing the church. Deconstructing the family. Why? It's a demonic strategy to destroy the church. That's really it. Why? Because as the family goes, so goes the church. Look at the Western world. Why is the church collapsing in the Western world? Why is it so difficult for the story of God to take hold? Because it's been proved wrong? No. But because the family is the icon of God. It images Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the union, the communion that's in the Father, and the life-giving love that's in the Father. And it's a participation in God's creative order. There's nothing like the family. You deconstruct the family, you deconstruct the living icon of God in the earth. And it's that icon was meant to be the place that the story of God is received. And the story of God is a story of family and marriage and a union and a bridegroom church and a bride church that longs for her bridegroom. It's there from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. It's huge. And so as the culture has saluted this totally radical narrative and is embracing it, and now its laws are lining up to drive it and to force it on the church, that's what's happening in the culture. Many who've grown up in the culture, some who are now in the clergy, some who are even leaders in the clergy, have imbibed some of it and accepted some of it. And for the first time in the history of the church, what we've seen in the last few years in some of the family synods that have gone on, you start to hear voices that we've never heard before. First of all, there's a great silence about St. John Paul's teaching on the theology of the body. And then there's an emerging voices to say the church needs to be more welcoming and accepting of different forms of family, which includes different expressions of sexuality, which includes sodomy and homosexual behavior, things like this, using flowery language. And there's influential leaders in the church who are positioned to move that narrative forward. And I believe the Lord is coming, exposing this sin because he wants it stopped. Because if we go this way, friends, if the Catholic Church starts embracing this stuff and calling sodomy a moral good, and calling every kind of family anybody wants to have, whether it's polygamy or polyamory or same-sex marriage or whatever it is, all things being promoted by the culture and being accepted by the culture, if the church goes that way, it's over in America. And the church will never die, but doesn't mean the church isn't going to get really, really small. And so what John Paul II said and other great prophetic voices in the church have said, the church needs a purification. She needs the discipline of the Lord. She's compromised in some ways. And so Here's John Paul II. I want to begin first with Dr. Peter Kreef talking about the U.S. and the culture of death that's present here. He said this. He said the church has to be purified. He says, yes, just like ancient Israel. And if God still loves his church in America, he will soon make it small and poor and persecuted, as he did to ancient Israel, so that he can keep it alive. If he loves us, he will prune us, and we will bleed, and the blood of the martyrs will be the seed of the church again, and a second spring will come. But not without blood. It never happens without blood, sacrifice, and suffering. The continuation of Christ's work, if it really is Christ's work, and not a comfortable counterfeit, can never happen without the cross. I don't mean merely that Western civilization will die. That's a piece of trivia. I mean eternal souls will die. Billions of Ramones and Vladimirs and Janes and Tiffanys will go to hell. That's what's at stake in this war. Not just whether America will become a banana republic, or whether we'll forget Shakespeare, or even whether some nuclear terrorist will incinerate half of humanity, but whether our children and our children's children will see God forever. That's what's at stake in Hollywood versus America. That's why we must wake up and smell the rotting souls. Knowing we are at war is the first requirement for winning it. I agree 100% with what he's saying here. Here's St. John Paul II. What's going to happen to the church? We must prepare ourselves to suffer great trials before long, such as will demand of us a disposition to give up even life and a total dedication to Christ and for Christ. With your prayer and my prayer, it's possible to mitigate this tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectively renewed. How many times has the renewal of the church sprung from blood? This time too. It will not be otherwise. We must be strong and prepared and trust in Christ and his mother and be very, very assiduous in praying the rosary. I mean, these are the prophetic voices that are understanding what we're living through right now. And when the Lord disciplines his church, friends, that's a good thing. It's important for us to align ourselves with God's purpose and God's agenda. God's agenda is not for the church to go the way of the world on the definition of human sexuality and family. That is not God's will. But the pressure of the world that's stigmatizing the church, that's calling the church haters and bigots and intolerant people, the Lord's permitting that to purify us, to test us. Are we for him or are we against him? Are we going to follow him or not? Always remember, folks, that the church has an infinite capacity for regeneration. There's everything in us and the power of the Spirit to be renewed. I want to end with Christopher Dawson. He said, when the church possesses all the marks of external power and success, then is its hour of danger. And when it seems that no human power can save it, the time of its deliverance is at hand. What the church needs is to be purified and to be radically devoted to Jesus and everything Christ desires for the church and for the salvation of the world. Let's say yes to it with the time that we have. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.